Thank you all for coming today, and thank you for that lovely round of applause. The people behind me certainly deserve it. Welcome, Governor, members of the General Assembly, today to a momentous occasion, the signing of our health plan. This is a program that we have worked hard on for the better part of the last year, and there are a variety of people here that I have the opportunity to thank. I'd like to start with my wife, Sandy. My children, Trey and Reagan Irene Robe, who I haven't seen in the last year very often. They don't seem to mind as much as I have. I'd like to thank our staff, Sid Norton, Marcus Barlow, Dennis Roseborough, Ruby Beatty, Amanda Arnold, Jessica Turner-Stoltz, Laura Mills, and particularly the Seema Verma. Seema has run endless numbers of scenarios. For those of you who are aware, this bill went through more than one iteration, and Seema has numbers for every one at least once. And Ann Murphy, our chief of staff, who managed to keep the FSSA on track during the course of the last year, as I spent much of my time on this effort. From the Department of Insurance, Jim Etterhol and his deputy, Carol Cutter, have been tremendous. Chuck Shalio and Jason Dudich from the Budget Agency, T.J. Lytle from the Department of Health, Scott Tittle and John Okeson from the Governor's Office, and, of course, the Governor himself, has been very influential in developing the program. But we couldn't have done it without the help of a variety of advocates and lobbyists, so I wanted to mention a few here. And if I either mispronounce your name, I apologize. And if I leave you off the list, you can kick me later. Missy Lewis and Allison Matters from the Indiana Academy of Family Physicians, Kelly Zachrich from the Indiana Immunization Coalition, Kim Stone King of the National Association of Insurers and Financial Advisors, Sean Gibbons of the Indiana State Association of Health Underwriters, Lisa Wittenheimer from the Indiana Primary Care Association along with Natalie Brown, Steve McCaffrey from Mental Health America of Indiana, Carla Snegas of ITPC, Patricia Richards of the American Cancer Society, John Willey of Anthem, Shauna Gerges of the Indiana Rural Health Coalition, Zach Cattell of the Medical Association, John Mills, Jeff Linder, Dan Evans, Bill Steffen, Sam Odell from Clarion, Allison Wary and Tim Kennedy from the Hospital Association, Charlie Heltunen and Robbie Barkley from the Third House, Tim Filler from the and Aaron Deppers from the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, Daniel Patterson from the American Heart Association, Nancy Turner from the American Lung Association, Nancy Jewell from the Minority Health Coalition, David Ruth from Covering Kids and Families, and Julianne Stewart from the Indiana Teen Institute, Kevin Brenneker from the Chamber of Commerce, and Pat Kiley from the Manufacturers Association. Tammy Robinson from the House Democrat staff, Casey Klein from LSA, Ann Naughton from LSA, Liam Manweiler, Doug Elwell, Matt Gutwine from Health and Hospital Corporation, Ed Charbonneau from Gary Methodist, Lacey Johnson, and of course our closer, Debbie Holt. There is one lobbyist that I want to make special thanks to, and that is Casey Denny. Casey's here today. Cassie Denny, pardon me. Cassie, thank you for your help. Also want to thank the eighth graders from Hobart in northern Indiana and the fourth graders from Little Turtle Elementary School in Columbia City. Now, no piece of thank you very much for being here today. Lynn St. James, the vice chair of the Governor's Council on Physical Fitness, is here today as well, so we're pleased to have her with us. No piece of legislation could be accomplished without legislators. This seems self-evident, but there are a number of individuals, 108 in all, who actually voted for the plan as it passed. And I won't thank all 108, even though I'd like to. I've sent them all letters thanking them. There are a couple, though, I want to highlight. Peggy Welch, Suzanne Crouch, John Day, Dick Dodge, Dave Frizzell, Phil Hoy, Don Leahy, Carolyn Mays. Carolyn's here, I believe. Earlene Rogers, Dr. Gary Dillon, Vanita Becker, Susan Arrington, Bev Gard, Connie Lawson, Ryan Mischler, Marvin Rinksecker, who was very helpful to us and was I'm pleased to see there on the final day, Connie Sipes, Mike Ripley. Mike is with us today. Mike was very helpful to us during the course of the legislative session. Bill Crawford, Dale Grubb, and Jim Merritt. In addition, I'd like to thank the legislative leadership, Richard Young, Pat Bauer, Brian Bosma, and David Long. Not only did those four individuals all vote for the bill, but they helped make sure that a majority of each of the four caucuses voted for the legislation, making it a tremendously bipartisan effort. There are four members of the legislature, though, that I've worked with for a number of years, and I'd like to single out. As you put together a piece of legislation, it's very important on health care that you have a lawyer and, you know, you talk to lawyers about it and that you talk to doctors about it. And we had a terrific doctor on the group of legislators, and that is Dr. Tim Brown. Dr. Tim Brown is unable to be with us today, but Tim Brown was a terrific force in getting this bill passed. He has hands-on experience every day with the uninsured. And, of course, Senator Vi Simpson, as a lawyer, was very helpful in crafting the legislation, in making sure that the legislation said what it is that we meant for it to do. It is a terrific pleasure of mine to introduce the next two individuals who will join me at the podium here to say a few words. And they are the author of the plan, Senator Pat Miller, and the sponsor of the bill, Representative Charlie Brown. A year ago, Senator Miller sent me on an odyssey across Indiana to develop a plan that could pass the Indiana General Assembly that could help lower the cost of insurance for all Hoosiers. And we developed such a plan, and the governor brought it forth. And then, thanks to their efforts and their stewardship of this legislation, both in the House and the Senate, Republicans and Democrats from the northern part of the state and the central part of the state, we managed to pass a terrific piece of legislation. So I would appreciate your giving Senator Pat Miller and Representative Charlie Brown a warm welcome of thanks.
Thank you all very much. It's a great pleasure to be here today. You know, we did work hard on this piece of legislation, but this will help Hoosiers across Indiana, individuals purchase affordable health insurance. It will help businesses who currently don't provide health insurance for their employees to have health insurance and provide health care coverage. And that's what we're really all about here, is making sure that Hoosiers have health insurance. And Mitch Robe went through an enormous list of people to thank. And I would just add my ditto, I guess, to his comments. But I would like to especially thank Governor Mitch Daniels, who took a bold, courageous step last fall to propose legislation, and I think we all owe the governor a special round of applause for his courage. I especially want to thank also Mitch Robe. He thanked everyone else, but I want to thank Mitch. He really put blood, sweat, and tears into this, and to his staff. They did an enormous amount of work and were always there to provide us any information we needed, and much of the credit goes to them and to all the other staff who worked so diligently. The two LSA drafters, Casey Klein and Ann Naughton, need to be commended. They're not here, but they took a great amount of time and effort in crafting wonderful words on paper. And I want to thank my colleagues in the House and the Senate, but to especially Representative Charlie Brown, who sponsored the bill in the House. Thank you, Charlie. It's always a pleasure to work with Charlie. And to all of you who supported us and called with your support for the program. We couldn't have done it without your support. We couldn't have gotten the votes without your support. So thanks to all of you, and thank you for being here today.
Governor Daniels and all of these wonderful children here today. Ladies and gentlemen, I know it's been a kind of long time sitting here, so I make a promise to you. I will do exactly as Elizabeth Taylor did with her last six husbands. I will not keep you long. The stars were aligned in order for us to do this. I'm telling you, it is indescribable what happened that we were able to come together to pass this wonderful piece of legislation that is comprehensive in terms of covering mental illness, pregnant women, children, the works. And I am very appreciative of the governor and his staff and all of my colleagues for the opportunity to pass this. This is historical that we were able to do this. Some of us wanted to go a bit farther. Patricia and I had said, why not a dollar? You know, so, or at least... we'd even talked about stair-stepping, at least vote one time for 40, 60, 80 cents, and then a dollar, so we wouldn't have to come back to our colleagues and have them harassed about tobacco. There are still some of our colleagues that feel we are picking on smokers, but we have all come together to say if we want to improve the quality of health care for citizens of Indiana, we needed to take this bold step. Now, this young lady standing to my left, and she is on my left, Patricia. She's my good luck young lady. She spoke for me in the Senate Rules Committee to make sure, because we had to go see some special mechanics in order to get this bill out. It won't mean much to you, but a piece of legislation cannot advance if it has not passed one house or the other, and a piece of legislation talking about revenue has to originate in the House of Representatives. We were not successful. Therefore, we had to rely on the Senate to dust off a rule that they had that they can, at the end of the session, talk about some legislation that has not passed one house or the other. And when we came to the Senate Rules Committee, we had to make sure that everything was in order and that we could make sure that the 8, 10, or 12 senators sitting there fully understood and comprehended and would accept the legislation that we had put together. And I asked Cassie to come and testify for me.
Hello.
She did a wonderful job in the Senate Rules Committee. I don't think it would have happened without Cassie, and I still congratulate her and thank her. And for all of you that will benefit, providers, consumers, the works, you owe a debt of gratitude for those legislators that bit the bullet and made the decision that this was the right thing for Indiana. And Governor, once more, thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator and Representative. It is now my pleasure to introduce our Director of Public Health, Dr. Judy Monroe, who has been a champion of this cause and many other worthy ones in the 2.5 years that she served as our Public Health Commissioner. Dr. Monroe.
Thank you. Thank you, Mitch, and I'd like to ditto my thanks to everyone that was involved with this. As a public health professional, this is really an exciting time to be here today for this truly historic moment in our state's health. But arriving here really was a journey, and I'd like to take just a brief moment to reminisce about that journey. It was about a year ago, well over a year ago, that Governor Daniels called me to his office and asked me if we were to create some resources for health initiatives, how would I suggest that we would spend those resources? So I took off and talked to a lot of people and came back in a few days, and I had a wish list a mile long, as you can imagine. And I am pleased to report today that my top three items that were on the list have all been funded out of the 44-cent cigarette tax increase contained in the bill that the governor is about to sign. Childhood immunizations, increased funding for tobacco cessation and prevention services for our youth, and improved access care for the uninsured. A remarkable bill that will be signed. This is a great step forward, but we still have the rest of my long list to take care of. So there's a lot more to do to bring Indiana into a truly healthy state, and I know that Governor Daniels cannot wait to take that next big step forward to a healthier Indiana. I am very fortunate to be serving as Indiana's health commissioner during this remarkable time and under this governor. He is a great leader, and it is my distinct privilege at this time now to introduce to you Indiana's governor, the Honorable Mitch Daniels.
Judy, and thank you, friends. I spent all morning down at Muscatatuck, the site of the former hospital, which now will serve a very new and different and exciting role in our nation's service. In case you haven't heard the TV on, there was a nuclear detonation on the northeast side of Indianapolis this morning that killed 15,000 people. Now, this is a simulation that we're going through, happy to tell you. But I was thinking coming back that we may not be able as a nation to absolutely prevent some catastrophic attack or loss like that. But that this afternoon we'd be gathered together about a catastrophe that's even bigger that we can prevent. That is to say, the invisible, silent loss of years, loss of quality of life, loss of peace of mind that has gone with a deficient healthcare system and deficient healthcare outcomes in our state. And we will not be the great state that we can be and that we want to be until we've address these problems, the ones that we are about to attack so frontally through this bill and the others on that list Judy just talked about. Today, we are taking a long step toward the dream of a healthier Indiana. We are taking, I think it's fair to say, the longest single step Indiana has ever taken in this direction. And my heart is full with gratitude to everybody who made it possible. Those on that list that Mitch buzzed through so quickly, and all the people who stood behind and with them. It is a day of celebration and a day of thanks, but also, as I'll tell you in a moment, it is a day for rolling of sleeves and a day to prepare to work. But let me just add my own thanks to those that have been given. First, to the advocates, the people I have come to know and love, and lots of meetings in that office back there, and lots of chance encounters and phone calls and emails in between. People who have labored in parallel vineyards for the welfare of children, for the reduction of smoking and the heartache that it brings, for the protection of those who have lived in the fear of a catastrophic and financially ruinous health event. And there are people here today who are seeing the fruition of years and years of selfless work on behalf of others. And would you please thank them once again? They were absolutely central to this success. I'm equally full of gratitude and also admiration for the 108 legislators who made this moment possible. And for those standing in, I know that the four who are standing here would be the first to want to push out and share that your applause with all their fellows. But these folks do deserve to be singled out. To Vi Simpson, who helped shepherd and strategize, and certainly to improve this bill. There are provisions for small business in this bill that are hers, things she has worked for a long time that are only there because of her creativity. And to Charlie, who has
tirelessly, and I think in many years almost alone, worked for the most direct action that any state can take to reduce the incidence of tobacco usage, and finally sees coming to dramatic fruition all those years of hard work. How gratified you must feel, Charlie, and how grateful this state is to you for your long and sometimes lonely fight. And to our field marshal and the author of the bill, Pat Miller, my counselor and most trusted friend on all such matters. You took this on, Pat, when the odds looked very, very slim, and you stuck with it, and your credibility, your relationships, the trust you've built up. I don't run into a legislator who doesn't look to you as I do for wisdom and good judgment on matters affecting the health of Hoosiers. And Pat, what a great, great job. Thank you. All right, so much for the blue ribbons and the merit badges. As I said, this, to me, is a pivot point. This is a time for rolling up sleeves and preparing to work. Please think about this. In this landmark historic legislation, there is one, but only one, provision, which is self-executing, which will have a direct effect just because it became law. That, of course, is the dramatic increase in the price of tobacco products. It's not a matter of conjecture. It's not a matter of theory. It's not a matter of philosophy. It's a simple matter of fact that all by itself, raising the price of tobacco products will lead people in this state to finally cross over and stop smoking, as 70% of Hoosier smokers say they would like to do. And of even greater importance, it will deter thousands and thousands of young people from ever experimenting with tobacco. Alone, it would be an important and an indispensable step. I said it so often, there can be no strategy for a healthier Indiana that does not include bringing down the second highest rate of smoking. There can be no strategy for bringing down that rate of smoking that leaves out the increase that Charlie and Vi and Pat so courageously fought for. But beyond that, the effect of that one action, everything else now depends on us. Because today, the hard work, the rest of the hard work, I guess I should say, begins. With the tools these brave legislators have provided us, now we must go about the difficult business, harder than you may think, of reaching those who would like to stop smoking with help, of finding the children who are not being immunized on time in this state and seeing that that happens in every single case, and of reaching out to those without insurance to let them know about a great new opportunity that may apply to them, and connecting them so that they can go to bed tonight, as most people here probably will, with the peace of mind of knowing that they are protected. These things will not happen automatically. So as much as today is a day of celebration, it must be a day of resolution. We must resolve to take these tools that these people have provided to us and use them to absolutely full effect. Because caring without action is mere gesture, and good intentions without real, measurable results is empty sanctimony. So let the work of outreach begin. Judy Monroe knows that before it's fair to do so, I'll be bugging her for numbers about how many children have been found and immunized. We must find the smokers who would like to free themselves of the prison of their addiction. We must find them, by the way, I hope we'll all agree to do this, with the most positive and compassionate mindset possible. Not in the way of recrimination, not in a way that is critical, but with the open hand of people who want to help, and with the confidence of people who know that if folks will just take that step, and if we can help them to succeed, they will make huge improvements in their health, and it doesn't matter how long they've been smoking. And then, a job that's going to be harder than you would imagine, we're going to need to find those folks who are uninsured and connect them effectively with the new opportunity that this bill provides. So, yes, we're here to celebrate. And yes, we're here to express our gratitude on behalf of every citizen who cares about a healthier state. But the same people who made this possible are exactly the people whose advocacy will now need to be turned to the essential task of realizing the potential of this historic legislation. So one last time, let's express our thanks, but let's do so in the resolve that this bill is going to realize, through our efforts, every bit of potential to make us a more caring and healthy and secure state that it has the potential to provide. Thanks to all who helped. Now let's make some law.